Hello and welcome to episode 142 of Duelist Community Raw. I am not on my microphone or computer right now. I'm on my mobile device because I don't really have Wi-Fi and I'm just trying to use a hotspot and it's shit. So we roll with it and we shift and we change as we go and gain context for things as we go. And now I'm getting into something that I don't know. Is it closely tied to jumping on your phone instead of getting on the computer? Not super closely, but it's indicative of something. Just rolling with things as you go, rolling with yourself, rolling with whatever you're feeling, recognizing, noticing, and being willing to just keep going through stuff and not panic.
And that is absolutely context, because it is entirely possible that you could build it up in your mind that if you're not on your computer using an actual stable Wi-Fi, then you are not being a professional podcaster. And you could have all kinds of anxiety about that. But now that you've actually had to pivot, you've had to adapt, you've had to use your phone, and you're still able to record, you're still able to make the point, and nobody listening is judging you for it. Now, the next time that you're not able to use your computer or that stable Wi-Fi, you're not going to feel that anxiety. You're not going to feel that worry because you're going to know that you have pivoted before. And so it is always additional context. And that context widens according to how far outside of your comfort zone you are willing to go. So just jump in. The rest makes sense as you go.
With all that said, I hope you enjoy this live stream. It is Duelist Community Raw, episode 142.
Good morning. It is Sunday. It is the second last episode of Duelistic Unity Raw before I fuck off to Virginia for the Virginia Beach Retreat. I'm stoked. I am absolutely excited about this retreat. Again, I want to throw it out there. I think there's like one or two tickets left to this thing, which is rare. So if you can make it out to this weekend, it's going to be dope. We're going to be on the beach. There's a hot tub, pool table, giant chessboard. And I'm just in a really good fucking mood. I'm really stoked for this one because a lot of changes have happened in my life. I have a lot of inspiration right now. There's a lot of colors on my fucking palette. So I have a lot to talk about. A lot to talk about. In fact, I figured I would start this off by giving everybody an update on last week's TikTok stalker situation. Still happening. Still happening. I currently have the attention of two people who are determined that I am a narcissist monster. And you can tell that because they outline all of the ways that I am a narcissist monster. And I encourage you to check out their comments. I never remove them. I don't delete them. And the reason is just because they're there, but if they get a little too frothy at the mouth, then I do tend to block them, but only for a little while. I look at it as quote unquote penalty box. It's like you are not showing any respect or even just being, I guess coherent. So you can go away until you calm down and you can come back. So I released one of them out of the penalty box yesterday, and the other dude's just been going back and forth. But I received a video last night which made me laugh, and it's because one of these individuals very much had kind of a meltdown, and they have this tendency of every time they say something that later on they look back at and go, that looks really bad, they delete it. And it doesn't matter if it's a comment or one of their videos, but they just remove it. And what's interesting about this is that you might think, oh, well, they're removing it for me, so I don't look at them as being less. But the fact is that they're deleting it so that way they can't go back to their own past and have any evidence of their own actions. So they get to live in this perpetual state of lacking accountability because none of that really happened. Look, there's no evidence. And so in an interaction with one of these people, I went, well, fuck it. I know what they're going to do. And so I told them I was going to have dinner and that I'd be back in a little while to check on their meltdown. And in the hour to an hour and 15 minutes that I was gone, there were, I'm pretty sure it was over 50 comments easily. And it was just all him just responding to himself. I had no comments in there. And so I screenshotted just the threads of them. And I posted a video to TikTok, which you can check out right now, where he asks me, oh, where's the meltdown? Is it happening in this room? And I went, yes. And I showed a bunch of these screenshots over and over and over again. And the music choice, although it's funny, wasn't deliberate. Truth be told, every time I post an image or something like that, I never check the music. right? I just kind of let it go. I often forget there is music, so it always works out kind of funny. Anyway, in response to this video documenting and showing his own actions, and you can read the comments on there. They're clear enough that you can read them. And as they go further and further and further, especially towards the end of the video, they become so ridiculously absurd that you can tell he was at this egotistical pinnacle. He was looking down at me by the end of it. He's like, oh, you poor thing. You missed out on the opportunity for my advice, for my love, for my counsel, and all of that. And then I posted this video, and he immediately blocked me. And I'm impressed that this time he did not delete the videos that he had made previously. He just blocked me till the next morning and then unblocked me and posted a video tagging me. Now, the video wasn't actually talking to me, which is really funny because this is something that often happens. But, and again, I want to remind you, this is somebody who has consistently referred to me as a narcissist simply because I don't want to have an in-depth conversation in the comment section on TikTok, but would rather have that conversation here on the podcast or even in person, one-on-one. It doesn't have to be live, right? That's the point. So, this person creates a video, and it's a scene from Green Lantern with Ryan Reynolds. Now, if you've never seen Green Lantern with Ryan Reynolds, the premise of the movie is fear and courage, because the Green Lantern's power comes directly from his lack of fear, his ability to use his imagination without fear, which is what creates his power. And the antithesis to that are people who run on fear. And so he sends me a clip, or he doesn't send it. He tags me in it. You can go check it out. It's on his account right now, unless he's deleted it, in which case I would advise you to go and check out the community Discord where somebody was nice enough to download that video and post it to Discord for everyone to see before it gets removed. Anyway, the point is that Green Lantern soars onto the screen and kicks the bad guy across the room. It's a really dramatic scene. And again, it's not a great movie, but, you know, pretty typical superhero scene. And he tags me in it. Now, what's funny about this is that if you know anything about narcissists, is that they must look at themselves in the most grandiose way possible, in a way that's lauded by the public, in a way that's adored by everyone and looked up to by the masses, like a superhero. And it's pretty textbook when it comes to people wanting to envision themselves as a superhero. And so that was the video I got yesterday. And so this morning, I said as much. I just made a video comment saying, did you know? And I left it at that because I found it fascinating. So at the moment, I'm curious to see what happens next. And I think the reason this is, it's not just entertaining, it's educational and it's important. I think that's the important part here, is that it's not just like you might look at me and go, well, you're really laughing at this dude. And you're right. You're right. I am getting some humor out of this. I also feel incredibly bad for this person because I remember being this person. I remember not being able to see anything. I remember able to do anything else in a way that validated me, or at least needed to. Right? And so I remember this. And what got me out of it was the recognition that it doesn't work. That it doesn't work. You know, but being able to hide in your room, hide behind a keyboard, hide behind the comment section on TikTok and just spew out this shit all day, every day without any kind of accountability, without anyone just standing up to you and going, no, because you said this. No, absolutely not. No. And it's just that. Then there's no opportunity for this person to learn. They're just going to sit in that hole and fester. And so it's important to just be honest. See, I'm not doing this to teach anybody anything. I'm doing this because I am life. I am life. And if I'm honest with myself, then I'm honest with him. And that's what this is, the opportunity for consequence. But we actually remove those opportunities. Like, I've had people make the argument, well, you know, he's obviously suffering through some mental health stuff. What does that mean? Does that mean his brain caught a cold one day? No. No, it doesn't. It means that he is committed to a certain amount of perceptions and thoughts and ideologies about himself. He is committed to a certain mentality that over time has started to strangle and choke his ability to empathize with other people and see himself. And because nobody has held him accountable, because nobody has had, I guess, the willingness to be looked at as the bad guy, to be called the narcissist, nobody's had that willingness, then he's just sitting there without any degree of blowback from reality, because everybody's just, oh, he has mental health, be nice to him, just medicate him. How's that medicating? How's that helping him? It's not. You know, and I'm not saying I'm helping him. What I'm saying is that by not trying to make it easier on him for my own sake, he has more opportunities to help himself. And that's really all this is. Now, that said, because I have to go through this, because I am putting in the time, as it were, I'm going to get a little humor at his expense out of it.
Because what would it be without a couple ability to get a couple laughs out of it, right? Because it is humorous to see it over and over and over and over, and just the continuation of the same sort of pattern. But when it goes unchecked, if it goes, you know, someone's just trying to help someone feel a little bit better, or not even help someone feel better, but just try and feel better themselves and prioritize that, you know, prioritize their own feeling right now. Because especially when you haven't done it that much, like, being actually empathetic towards someone and not just being nice may not be the most comfortable thing, because it isn't necessarily a good feeling, but it gives you that opportunity, and it gives the interaction that opportunity to actually, I don't know, get somewhere, for something to be learned. But as long as it's like, even to respond with just strictly frustration or anger kind of just allows the cycle to continue on. And if you're not willing to call out what it is, you know, what's actually like an overinvestment in themselves, how seriously they take themselves in a lot of ways, without a willingness to actually look at all sides of it and you know, look at those actions that have happened previously, it's going to make for, you know, just a continuation of that. And it's interesting, like, you know, how that ability to kind of forget or delete the past or pretend, like, you know, I've talked about it many times, and this is, it's funny, it hits me in this way, because, like, you know, a couple of years ago when I talked about before dualistic unity, it was like realization, oh, what if I, you know, what if I didn't have a past? And it's like exactly kind of what you're describing in a sense. And I'm like, oh shit, that's very true. Cause it's a lack of accountability for all of those things, with the assumption that, like, there was something wrong with your past, as opposed to opportunities to learn, things that give you context, things that fill out your experience in a lot of ways. But if we hold on to this idea, like, oh, it shouldn't have happened. If it hadn't happened, you wouldn't have been able to realize that you didn't have to take it so seriously. Like, it's all necessary in a sense to go through an overinvestment in yourself to realize that that doesn't do the thing that you want to do. But as we go through things and continue to, you know, say theoretically, or I don't know the word exactly, but be able to go back and delete comments as you go, and just like delete every part without a willingness to look at it, it doesn't allow you to realize how much that overinvestment in yourself doesn't do the thing that you want it to do. And so we'll keep doing that. You know, the whole world is like everyone deleting those comments because we'll think about ourselves in a certain way, assuming that that's going to help us, assuming that that's going to, you know, give us certainty, give us a guarantee. And it doesn't. Like, things don't ever go in the way that we think they're going to go. But like, because we keep, you know, deleting the comments and not wanting to look at the fullness of our experience in a lot of different ways, it allows us to not stay accountable. And so it's like, you have a world of people running around with a lack of accountability, because even like, you know, buying something new, something expensive to feel better, or going on like a shopping spree, and then you spend all that money assuming that it's going to do something. It gives you a you know, immediate cessation for a bit, and then it comes back. But then we don't keep that in mind because we're not taking accountability for like that choice actually not making sense, because then it wouldn't make sense to continue to do it so much. But it's like, we keep forgetting, like, I don't know, both sides of it. Like it's not doing the things that we wanted to do, but we're looking at it from like the spectrum's the only thing that exists, like feeling better or not feeling as good. It's like none of that have to do with getting better so much. And oftentimes the way to get to getting better or starting to get better is to go through the things that don't feel as good and to be willing to look at that as opposed to just continue to avoid those things. Like, are you willing to feel all the feelings, or are you assuming that certain ones shouldn't be felt? And then you're just building a life that allows you to continue to avoid those feelings that are still there. Like they don't go away, but we just want to keep, like, we catch it in the corner of our eye and we just keep like turning our head like this as we go, not wanting to look at, like, that makes us in a lot of ways. And looking at the reality of us doing that, we can see where it comes from more so, and like why maybe we overinvested in that, and then see that it's not something that we have to continue to do. But if we keep, you know, turning the other way, it's makes that a lot tougher to learn and grow.
I'm really glad that we're having this conversation, because this is the reason that it is so important to come down from one's fucking cerebral, philosophical ivory tower and actually go and talk to people who are in the shit, or even better, go through the shit. And it's because, for example, one of the people who's been accusing me of being a narcissist on TikTok has also accused me of being a mindfulness guru. I'm not sure which of those two is worse, frankly, but the point is that his issue with mindfulness is that it lacks accountability. Is that if you are too much in the present, you are not accounting for what you've done previously, right? Now, that is a very black and white view, but it is a black and white view that many people suffering from narcissism are going to take. And there's a reason that they gravitate towards mindfulness to some degrees, because there's a lack of accountability there. But what we're always saying is that, is it this or is it this? And we're always saying it's both and neither, right? Yes, you exist as a journey through time. And on the other hand, you don't. You only exist here and now. But what you experience is both, and yet kind of neither, because it's not one or the other. It's a conglomeration. So whatever it is you're able to picture at any given point isn't it. Which is why we always talk about the fact that, you know, the universe you're aware of is your awareness. Does that mean you're not in the universe? No. Does that mean the universe is in you? Yeah, kind of. You know, it's not either, and yet it's somehow both. And it's living in that awareness that allows you to have empathy and nuance and to actually feel for people. Because to be everything all at once, to be actually the all of the universe, to be the awareness that is reality without any of the dualistic stuff that goes with it, is to lack empathy. You know, I've often said this when it comes to people saying, God says murder is bad. Why would God say that? Why would God say that? Let's break it down. Why would a being that is everything, never experienced fear, has nothing to judge itself for, has no basis to judge itself compared to anything, none of the way we think would apply? Isn't that interesting? So we always, it's the same as the non-dual people. There is no me. There is no me. No, there is. There is. There's the experience of you. As much as that experience is an illusion based on duality, based on a division that's not there, that illusion is as real as you are. And that is the paradox. That's why it's important to keep both in mind. It's the reason when you realize that, oh my God, everything's an energy and it's all my mind, you don't stab yourself in the hand to prove it. Because you see, what you're envisioning as everything's just energy isn't any different than this is my flesh. It's just that we perceive this difference because we want to gravitate towards this place that is a respite from the worldly obstacles of pain and suffering, right? We want to envision this heaven instead of recognizing that the balance here and now with awareness, sensitivity, and all of that is where your own experience of heaven comes from and can be cultivated over time. But only here and now. Because it's both and neither.
Because your flesh, like, even in realizing that you're not just like, it is all you, like, this is still your flesh. And so I think a lot of times with the, you know, cerebral, being everything, it's like everything but this, like everything besides this. And that phrase that I had right before you said it, you know, it's as real as you are. And I don't know, because that I think I first heard that in Free Guy when they're talking about, you know, what's real, what's unreal. It's like, well, no. I think I heard it from you first. Or they said something like, what's real, what's unreal? Well, it's, you know, as real as this moment right now, because they're in, you know, video game. And that's as real as anything, because as soon as you're like, oh, this isn't real, it's like, real, not real, as opposed to what? Like, what is real? What's more real than this happening right now? But that's when there's more accountability that has to come into play, because every experience is real. Like it is happening. It is having impact on yourself. Like when you assume that it's not real, it's like you assume that it's not having impact on yourself. Like you're still assuming that you're something separate from this, you know, assuming that, you know, I'm thinking about this as not real, but that thinking about this is real. And so it's like, fuck, then what is it? I want to settle on something. I want to settle on a side. And that's why it's like, either, you know, you feel like you're everything and it's like separate from you, you're, you know, caught entirely in yourself, but it's both and neither. And then it's like part of me wants to be like, oh, it's both. And it's like, it's also neither. Yo. So it's fun to go back and forth, you know, between the discussions about it, because a part of me, like, very much just wanted to be on that side of the avoidance of the, you know, just feel good. It's like, oh yeah, I can talk about this stuff. And so there are times where I feel almost funny, like, talk, because like I feel like in the last, I don't know, year, 6, 7, 8 months, like, gotten a good reminder of like, no, it's again as real as you are. And because my experience right now is me. And there's so much to that, regardless of what I'm assuming is or isn't happening, or like, oh, I everything's uncertain all the time. And it's like, yes, but also things happen. Things are happening. You're still doing things. Like, you're still doing things, even when you're assuming that, like, oh, things are happening, and you're doing them. It's like, yes, and they're happening, and you're doing, and then so. And it's such a necessary and vital balance, because whether you go to the extreme of one side or the other, it's still lost in yourself, very much caught in yourself. And responsibility is a massive, massive component to continue to be able to, you know, factor in as you go, because it's certainly not just the one side. It's like the karma repercussions and all of that. It makes sense, because you're always doing things to yourself. You're always interacting with yourself. And so when that's realized, there's a depth to that. And it's just like, you know, yeah, you just get a better feel for, you know, that sensitivity and what to do next, even if there's not a right. It just makes more sense.
And it applies to everything, right? Like, it really does. Like, this is why once you understand this, it's both and neither, then you can never settle on one, which means that you can look at anything from now on and have a continuous process. Because if you go into an argument, for example, and you go, well, who's right? You both are, and neither of you. Drink that in. Right? You're both totally right and valid from your own perspectives, and yet your perspectives aren't truth. Well, immediately gives you more to chew on. Same is true. Let's look at the argument about free will or predestiny. Both and neither. It's just free will on what scale? Right? The will of the whole expressed through the will of the drops, because there's no difference. It's just a matter of where are you looking at from. Do you have free will? And is that will separate from the rest of the whole? It's the same will. It's just expressed on different scales, as above, so below. Right? So yes, it's predestined according to the path of the wave. On the other hand, you're the wave and the drop. So it's both and neither. You know, is there a God? Yes and no. Both and neither. Right? It really comes down to what do you mean? Right? Because yes, there's a God. When you say, is there one unifying thing that is reality? Yeah, absolutely. And it's you. So it's not God at all. It's both and neither. And the more that you're able to understand this, that what the yin yang is really showing is that both sides apply. Not one side is ever winning. The whole picture is both sides. That's the whole picture. Both sides and neither. And I'm holding up like a yin yang here in my imagination, obviously. The point is that if you can take this in and apply it to your life, where you just don't settle on anything, where you're in this constant state of looking at both sides all the time, what do we call that? Being reasonable.
And I like that you finished with that, because it is as much as it can be, like, you know, high-minded cerebral conversation, like, it does come down to how you live your life and just like being a reasonable, rational person. But that runs very deep, because there's a lot of ways that we sort of assume that we can be like, are being rational when we're not. You know, there's so many deeper things. Like, yeah, I'm being rational right now based on this limited sort of situation, but there's a lot informing that situation right now. Like, this is a rational decision that I'm making. Informed by what? A bunch of irrational assumptions? Because that's a lot of the things that we're holding on to behind us, right? It's like, you're making this crazy ass assumption that you're all of these things, you know, based on made up, you know, fucking nationalism, made up lines in the sand, American, Canadian. Like, that is but then from there, you could make this decision that, like, oh, someone from a different part of the made up lines in the sand attacks you. And you're like, well, it's rational to respond in that way. But there's like a foundation that rationale is built upon. And so, how rational are we? Well, it's like, how much is that, you know, rationality informing the rational decisions in the immediacy? And there's almost like a paradoxical nature to that, because from your point of view, you know, you're always making rational decisions, but what is your point of view of yourself and reality that are informing all of those? And irrational in a sense, like, you're always doing your best based on that perspective, and it's always informing all those sides. Like, I've been chipping away at some of those Mayan calendar videos that you sent, that playlist, and holy fucking shit, I may have to find the link. I think I have it pulled up, and I'll throw a QR code on there, but that shit is awesome. It is so cool, and I'm only through like the fourth video out of, like, I think it's 18 or so, and the information and like the sort of paradox of that being a continuation of existence, reality in varied perspectives and ways of viewing itself, but it all being you going through that, and like that it needs time to make sense of the progression. in a sense, but it's still very much like your reflective of your perspective of yourself. And so it's you going through it, and with it's like within, I don't know if there's some sort of potential bound that you can push given the context of the situation that you're in. Like, you know, right now there's been a lot, and you get to the dates and the end dates, and it's like, all right, yeah, we've been through quite a bit of back and forth, and it's like the pendulum's getting very close to settling, you know, before a big swing or whatever plays out. But it's in potential in our own lives, and we have the ability to see, as much as like as cultures we've seen, and this may make more sense because I'm like thinking about the videos I'm talking right now. If you see the video, it may make more sense. But to see the cultures and the ways that we live, but then be able to see all of those in your own lifetime, in a sense, and the way that you view things given the context of the situation that you're, you know, born into or grow up in, but then with the same potential. And so, you know, I don't know, previously when there's like different, you know, 2000 years ago, there was like less likelihood of someone, this is just me throwing darts, but there was less likelihood of someone recognizing that they were, you know, what is, in a sense. And yet, so now maybe there's more likelihood, but it's in spectrum as you go. I don't know. I have a lot of thoughts about
I
this.
Fucking love where you're going there, for sure. Because, okay, I always kind of look at history as kind of being symbolic of our path towards the inevitable recognition of unity, for example. Like, and this is why I've made this point before, that slavery, as much as we looked at slavery, and I'm not just talking about North American slavery, I'm talking about the history of slavery, you know, practiced by every person of every color for fucking 10,000 years. That was actually a step up from the just straight up genocide we did before it, because all of a sudden there was a recognition that human life had value. True, value as a commodity. So it was super, super divisive and lacked empathy, but it was still a step away from genocide and towards reconciliation, right? And then thousands of years later, it came to the inevitable recognition, slavery bad. And then what we did was we changed the form of slavery to taxpayer. So that kind of changed the spectrum. But we are now at a point where people aren't walking around with swords crucifying you or burning you at the stake. So there is actually physically less symbolism of division. And now we have more symbolism of connection in terms of the internet and cell phones and technology and all that stuff. Like, we are moving in a direction when you look at it that way. So that said, is it the person suddenly recognizing unity, or is it the whole recognizing unity? And it's just that there are certain bubbles within that wave that crest from time to time that get a little higher. Certain bubbles that are, again, reflections of the wave. You know, everybody looks at Jesus like, Jesus. It's like, he wasn't alone. Like, there was a bunch of people talking to him and shit. That was important. That was part of it. That was like, it wasn't just him by any means, you know, but it really is that. And so we're watching the tide rise. You know, we're a part of this collective tide rising towards the inevitable recognition of unity. Right? And the only question is, how does that take shape? What does that mean when so much of what we do habitually comes from a more divisive mindset that's hundreds of years old that we've been holding on to for security? So it, regardless of the inevitability of the internet, for example, our government still operates like it did 100 years ago. So we're holding on to a lot of stuff that's in contradiction to the unity that we're starting to embody, and then we wonder why we're in fucking conflict. We wonder why we're suffering like a motherfucker. It's because all of a sudden there's this physical reality around us symbolizing a possibility in terms of us working together and seeing each other. And we're holding on to a mentality that tears us apart. And so we're living in direct contradiction to the physical reality that we are a part of. And we wonder why we're in conflict.
Oh, but this is a part of it too. It's like the growing pain in a sense, right? It's like it's the mentality or the environment is there, and there's like a mentality that's almost pulling from it, right? And so it's going to take shifts in time, because there's a, with that mentality, the existing mentality, there's a value in structures, in being in control. And so it's incentivizing that to remain, while at the same time we're seeing so many like contradictions and repercussions to even using the internet in a way that is very egotistical and divisive, right? Like people actually, I've had recent conversations with people talking about social media and how it's like, you know, a bad thing. You know, it's a bad thing. It's like, it's a tool that we're using to either feel better about ourselves or get on and, I don't even know, try to feel better about yourself and then not feel better, or reinforce some narrative about yourself. And it's just another way for you to look around and make more and more assumptions about things. And it's more, it's like more easily able to make assumptions because you're not actually interacting with those people. And people are able to curate an image, right? There's more control on the internet. You know, you're able to, on social media, only show what you want to show, only show what you think should be shown. So when there wasn't so much of that and it was more human to human, face to face interaction, it was a little bit tougher to have so many assumptions. They were still for sure possible. Absolutely. Of course, you know, doing it all the time, but it's easier to both have that control and make absolutely arbitrary assumptions, because you're seeing a little tiny snippet of a person, you know, a little that they're choosing to show. Like there isn't someone on social media or on the internet doesn't have a 24/7 camera on them. It's like they make a video, you can edit the video. Now you can edit the video or picture, so you actually look different. Maybe you sound different, maybe all of these things. So there's this feeling of control, while at the same time making it more easy to make assumptions. And so, but in that, there's also the ability, when you're not making so many assumptions, to connect and interact. And it's a tool for connection, and to be able to see that maybe you're not the only one having a certain conversation or seeing yourself a certain way. And so it's, again, it's just a tool. And the more extreme we take given perspectives, mentalities, is the more seemingly the tool is going to be detrimental. Like people probably, there's a decent amount out there who think the internet and social media, like social media specifically, is like one of the worst things that's ever happened. And it's just like, no, it's just an extreme way to show us, you know, how deep in our shit we are. You know, it just shows us that so clearly. And so there's going to be drastic repercussions, like, you know, kids going on and comparing themselves and then, you know, getting really, really, really depressed, and anyone doing that. But it's just a way of showing us more of ourselves.
Absolutely. And it's interesting because, again, like, look at the last couple of elections, where foreign governments have straight up influenced the elections just by manipulating social media, like, you know, troll farms, whole factories of people that are just creating misinformation. You know, why is that happening? Because governments are divisive. That's why. It's because they're both representing their own interests and trying to outdo the other. And that is the point, is that the reason that kind of practice is happening online is because they're divisive. You know, the reason people are trying to steal your money online is because money's divisive. You know, it's because it's tearing us apart. Like, there's a whole fucking slew of evidence that, again, the advent of the internet would work totally differently if those things weren't in there, like if you were to take government out, the internet could be used for real-time voting without worry about any foreign interference, because there's no foreign interference. Why would they interfere? Right? It's all just real-time local voting for everyone, right? As well as collective voting in real time, which means that there's a lack of need for representatives who are working behind your back for their own best interests. Right? Like literally, there could be an entirely different system, but we are holding on to a mentality that's several thousand years old. So much of what we do goes back to Rome and beyond. I mean, we haven't changed how we measure time. We haven't changed how we think about ourselves. We haven't changed how we've governed ourselves. We haven't changed how we perceive the world in terms of, oh, I can own this chunk of land that spawned me. Like, we haven't changed anything. We still perceive each other as separate. It's an old mentality that unfortunately is contradicted by everything that we're doing technologically. You know, even what we've recognized scientifically in terms of everything being connected.
Exactly. And so it makes me wonder with that, because like with everything going on and the environment that's now kind of coming around is getting more and more primed to be able to recognize yourself and interact with yourself. Because it's like it's what's left when you take being unsure to the extreme. Like it's where you end up is that, you know, this is you. You're interacting with yourself all the time. But and the more it's like the more we hold on to certain perspectives of what we think is happening or the right way to be or believing in something, it makes it more difficult to realize that. And I had somewhere on hold on. With the beliefs and whatnot. And oh yeah, yeah. And like as we go, we're able to explore more, like our ability to understand things increases. And so with say something like religion, you know, when a natural disaster happened, it's like we were way less certain about that. So we were making more and more assumptions. And not to say that we're certain right now about what it is, but you know, we know that it's caused by, you know, a number of different things going on in the world that isn't separate from us at all. And so it's not really cause. It's just something that's, you know, that's happening and playing out. But is also, I wonder how reflective it is of us, but pre-assumed that it was. And now I'm like, oh shit, hold on. Because we assumed that it was, you know, God doing it or God's will as something separate from us. And so it's not even like we are necessarily wrong with that. It's just, again, depending on your perspective. So it is, you know, God's will doing it from a certain perspective, but it's like, okay, so then that, okay. So then it's like, we're just have been on one perspective for a long time. And then it's like you shift to another, but if there isn't the accountability and responsibility, that can be detrimental as well without the empathy. And so, but it's not even, you know, detrimental is even in a sense kind of a judgment, I guess, destructive possibly. But when there is more of the balance with it, that it's like, yeah, it's God's will, but again, you need an assumption about yourself and to assume that something's happening separate from your experience to believe that that's not, that's something happening separate from you or that you aren't responsible for in some way, shape, or form.
Oh, it's fascinating because I remember Hurricane Katrina, which would have happened when you were fairly young. But this is a perfect example because it took almost no time for the religious figures to come out and start saying that it happened because of the gay people in Louisiana. They actually straight up said, this is because of all the homosexuality in New Orleans. It took no time at all. And that's the whole point, is that they, not only are they making assumptions about God, but those assumptions about God are very much based on the idea of themselves, right? That they're more godly because, you know, they're not gay. So therefore, God has got to like them more. So there's this whole thing that happens. And it's just because they're not looking at both sides. Like, they're not looking at the connection to everyone else. When they envision God, they don't envision something that doesn't share their preferences. They've envisioned something that validates their preferences. Right? They don't see something that's unifying. They see something that agrees with them. And that's the difference, is that they're looking for an idea based on the idea they must hold on to themselves. And so they live in this world of fiction, in this world in their head, which is why they can do things and totally miss the contradiction. This is why a lot of wars have been fought in the name of God. Think about that. We are fighting a war in the name of that which brings us all together. Hold up. Has anyone thought through what it is we're saying at all? You know, even in the States, look at your money. You know, in God we trust. What is everybody else doing? You know, is it just you? Is it just your God? What God? What do you mean by God? Like, let's talk about this. But it's not. It's just you. This is why I like that song by Slowly Slowly, right? He's like, you know, I'm just a corporate slogan. You know, whether you're looking for something good or bad, you can rely on me for your facts. Like, that's the whole point. Like, you can look to God and go, no, it's bad in the eyes of God. Like, that's exactly it. And validate yourself completely. So that's not the reality of God. Right. The reality of God is that which tears down your need to stand on a certain side and divide yourself from everyone else. And that's just awareness. That's just awareness and being reasonable. That's all it is. And isn't it funny? Just being reasonable, just having the audacity to not settle on something that makes you feel good right away is God in action.
It's fascinating, because then it's like we want, if we're feeling a little bit uncertain or unsure about things, we want to be sure about, hold on to some sort of perspective, and then we need something to that as being correct. So then it's like, we'll double down on that. And God is just that, the way of, to validate my perspective of things. Like, if I feel like I'm being a piece of shit, it's like, I know that God's judging me. If I feel like I'm being a great person, it's like, God's proud of me. It's like, what is that based on? Like, where is that coming from outside of your mind? But then it's we can look, because we crave that validation. We can look around. You're like, well, you know, a billion people think the same thing as me. And it's like, that doesn't bring it back to right here. It's like, what if they're all just doing the same exact thing that you're doing, and then pointing around saying, see, look, everyone else is doing it. And what's the Krishnamurti quote? It's no measure of health to be profoundly well adjusted to a profoundly sick society. And so that, and there we go, third time's charm. And so that just brings into question, like, what is this all about? If we're just trying to get validation for how we see certain things, it's like, we'll look around, we'll look to God, we'll make up, we'll again double down on that perspective. Because when you aren't looking for that validation, it's like you're just with what's actually going on with this right now, with this experience, and this is the only thing that you know. This is it. And then it's like, all right, do you have faith in yourself right now? And the beauty is, like, you don't even need faith in yourself as this, like, assumption of, like, do I have faith in myself right now? It's like, it's not even a check-in ever. It's just continue. Yeah, exactly. It's just continue on. You don't need a, cause as soon, I was like in and out for a sec. I was like, cause as soon as everything's uncertain, it's like, fuck, what do I do? And it's like, nothing's changed. Nothing's changed at all. It's just like, you're maybe seeing things a little bit, you know, the notch, like if you ever had an eye exam, it's like the notch has just gotten turned a little bit, and it's like, oh yeah, that one was a little clearer than that one. But it's not that you know anything, and it's not that there's anything to get necessarily. It's just you're seeing a little bit more, maybe. But it's not like, oh, now I have to do something differently. But each time it's like you're feeling a little bit less certain. You're feeling like you're seeing a little bit more. You almost can assume that you got to do things differently now, but you keep doing things, continue on as, oh, again, relax, pay attention to yourself. And the more you come back to that, as you continue to see more, you know, the more everything starts to change, you know, the more you continue to change. But a lot of times we can get caught up, I think I can get caught up. And the more I see, the more I think now things, you know, are different. It's like they are, but they're not at the same. It's like, carry on, just continue on. And, you know, you'll continue to fluctuate as you go, but it's like your own spectrum starts to shift with you and the fluctuations start to shift.
And this reminds me very much of our very first retreat when mid-trip, you looked up at me and went, I got to talk. And then asked me immediately, how do you deal with being alone? Recognizing that you're everything. And what did I say? Realize it doesn't change anything. It hasn't changed a thing, but it changes everything. Right? It doesn't change the nature of your experience. It just changes how much of it you're watching. Right? It doesn't change the nature of your dualistic reality, but it does change your awareness of where that duality comes from and how it works. All of a sudden, you're not just in the fog. You see how the fog is the contrast to the sun. You know, all of a sudden, it's not that you're feeling anxious without the awareness that that will later on lead to a feeling of letting go. Right? Because the anxiety is just you holding on to control. It's what's causing the consequence, causing the distortion, causing that reverberation in the signal, as it were. And then you finally let it go and you're like, oh yeah, I'm just being myself again. Right? But we never watch that flow. We never see how one thing leads to the next, leads to the next, leads to the next, because we always focus on what we're going through right now and our preferences about it, our assumptions about it. You know, it'd be like watching a movie. And just every 10 minutes, just skipping ahead, watching 5 minutes, skipping ahead another 10 minutes, watch another 5 minutes, skip ahead 10 minutes, watch 5 minutes, and then trying to piece together what the fuck happened in the movie. You know, and that's what we're doing. We're doing it all the time. As soon as we end up on an emotion or a thought or a perception we don't like, we run. We run. We try and control that shit away, try to make assumptions to make ourselves feel better. We identify, we look at the world, we judge, we do everything just to scramble away from the emotion that we don't understand. Instead of just sitting in it and going, right, both and neither. Yes, I'm feeling lonely right now. On the other hand, I'm also feeling the weight of the responsibility I have for myself. That's often what loneliness is. You know, why can't somebody be here to make me feel like I'm not in this on my own? Because that, when you get over that, it turns into aloneness, which is a very different place.
Because that's where you're allowed to build far more strength in that aloneness. And it's if it's a shift and it's uncomfortable at first and you immediately run from it, then there isn't the opportunity. Like it's always in those situations where you're lonely, where you're feeling down, feeling a certain way, making a certain assumption. There's almost more of a gravity or there is potential for growth, shift, changes. When you realize that that's not something that you have to do, but as long as you run, it stays. It's still there. It digs in a little bit more. So the beauty is like when you're sitting spots, it's just not making the same choice, run from it. You know, to run from that feeling, just sitting in it. Maybe just not assuming that, you know, that you even have to care so much how you feel. Like that is something that I've been realizing more and more that like, fuck, my experience gets quite a bit lighter when I realize that I don't have to be so goddamn focused on how I feel right now. And that's something that, you know, I feel like I've maybe had that conversation in the past, or I've seen it on social media, someone going back and forth. And if someone were to say, like, it doesn't matter how you feel, That's like one of the most triggering things that a lot of people could ever possibly hear. Like, I can only imagine the response. And now I'm like, that's actually,
it goes up there with stop thinking about yourself.
Yeah. Like, oh, maybe. Yeah. I'm going to make a video about that, I think, soon. Cause like just that, like, it doesn't matter how you feel. Even me, I'm like, yeah, it matters a little bit. You should feel good. And it's like, oh, according to what? According to what assumptions? According to just like your own preferences? What does it mean to feel good versus feel bad? Like, is it really good and bad, or is it just, you know, comfortable and uncomfortable? And then when it's
heavy versus light.
And so it's not even about, oh my God, it's like we don't have to look at the same spectrum of like, am I feeling good? Am I feeling bad? It can be maybe closer to, am I taking myself really goddamn seriously right now? Or am I not? Am I taking my preference really seriously right now? Or am I not? Am I taking what I want really seriously right now? Or am I not? And those are all components of taking yourself seriously or much. And they're all informing you. And like, if there's a certain thing that makes us uncomfortable, it's like, we don't want to realize that, you know, the interconnectedness isn't just of everything or everyone. It's everything that we do it's not just, you know, oh, my assumptions about myself. It's my actions, because we're always just expressing where we're at, you know, whether it's super relaxed or super tense. It's like that informs everything, from the way that we sound, from the words that we choose, from the ways that we act and interact. But there's not a right to it, because as soon as there's a right way to express it, it's like that's then holding on to something. And that's like, fuck, but I want there to be some right way to fucking do something. It's like, I mean, you can try, you can make the assumption that there is, but that's not you being relaxed. And so it's like a different sort of spectrum. It's not so much about feeling good, feeling bad. It's just, you know, how much are you being yourself versus how much are you making assumptions about what you think you should be right now? Like, just assuming that you're doing something wrong right now, you should be doing something differently right now. You should be acting differently than you are right now. That then, you know, causes some stress, tension in between. And then, you know, it clouds that ability to make informed decisions so much. But it's not like, oh, am I doing the right thing right now? It's like, how many assumptions am I making right now?
Exactly. Because then it's not about whether it's right or wrong. It's very much, how much attention am I paying? And if you're worried about doing the right or wrong thing, not much. Not much, because you're going to pay attention right up until it makes you feel like you're right. Then you'll stop there. Because then you don't want to question it any further. That might end up with you being wrong, right? And so we only question to a point where we're comfortable and we stop there. But the alternative is to keep learning. The alternative is to keep growing. And at the end of the day, that means turning into something that we don't know, because we have the illusion that we know what we are now. As soon as I've settled on an idea of myself that I'm good with, I don't want that to change like at all. You know, this is why a lot of people, once they get to a certain point in their career, once they get to a certain point within their given trade, they just stay there until they retire. Right? It's because now I know everything I need to know. I know who I am. This is what I do. This is where I live. This is what I own. This is the things I like. And they just wait until death. Right? Whereas the alternative is to tackle something you don't know. And I mean, this is a lot of the life coaching clients that I've dealt with over time are people who have done the same thing for 20, 30 fucking years because of the security that it offered. Not just security financially, but security in terms of who you are, where you are, what you are, how you think, who your friends are, your social circle, all that shit, right? What your interests are, what your preferences are, what your beliefs are, all of that. And they come to me and they're like, I don't know why I'm not feeling alive. Well, I can't fucking imagine. It's possibly the cardboard box that you're living in with pretty colors on the wall. You know, just take the box away and you'll be living. And to remove the box is to throw yourself back into uncertainty. That's all it is, right? And that's immediately when you start to feel more alive. And that's immediately when you start to feel more uncomfortable if it's something that you've been avoiding for a long time. This is why it's important to go out. It's important to go out into situations that you're like, ah, I don't know if I want to do that. Do it. Just do it. Just for the sake of reminding yourself you can. You know, because if you keep telling yourself, I don't want to do that, eventually you're going to think that you are that preference. And you're not. It's just a preference. You know, but if you forget it's just a preference, you'll actually start to take it as a part of you. You'll actually start to identify with it. And then you'll be constrained by it for the rest of your fucking life, because it is very comfortable to be familiar with the way you think. It's addictive to be comfortable. It really is. It's really hard to forget that familiarity is addictive. It doesn't mean it's a bad thing. It means it's addictive, which means that it can be a bad thing. You know, the expression, too much of a good thing isn't a good thing, right? Exactly. It goes to a lot of stuff. It's so funny how these old common sense sayings, right, really apply when you start taking it in. You know, like, don't pick at it. That's a great one. What's that? You're feeling like a bag of shit. Don't pick at it. Don't start thinking about it. Don't start trying to solve it. Don't get in there and rip it apart. Let it heal. Give it some time. Give it some fucking space. Pay attention to reality. Let yourself process. It's just like any other scab.
Exactly. And all those preferences built upon itself, built upon each other, like, create my story of myself. It's like my story is kind of just a conglomeration of all of those preferences, all of those things that I've assumed over time and then just settled on and then not looked at or changed or been willing to face or deal with. And so it very much informs identity in a sense. Like, there was a point where I had a preference or made an assumption or just did something to, you know, feel like I knew something, and that's then became what I am. But, like, you know, the idea of you, it's not even like it exists in, like, if I start thinking about myself, it's not so much like a full of, you know, assumption, you know, I'm imagining just like a hollow body with like assumptions within it. It's just kind of like faded out, foggy assumptions. And so is it just preferences that have been settled upon? And that's like my idea is just preference over and over and over based on a situation that played out or a way of life or a way of living. And then it became a way of thinking, and then it became me. But there's like a progression throughout our lives. And I guess, and that kind of reminds me of the Mayan calendar progression in a lot of ways, which I'll throw it up again. Before was like this progression of potential ways to think more recently, potential ways to live and exist and act that then turned into, you know, ways of thinking and then assumption upon assumption. So we're all, you know, sort of variations of that, you know, perspective of taking those preferences and thoughts very seriously, you know, about ourselves. And that's what then informs the division that we feel is that, you know, wall of me, you know, and what I want.
Exactly. And this is what we're talking about. Like when in Discover Transcendence, for example, I talk about Jane Levinger's stages of ego development, right? Well, the early stages of ego development are you learning your preferences and your opinions, your first preferences and opinions. And you're forming a lot of that in order to fit into the environment that you're used to, that you are a part of. So you're learning a lot of the preferences and opinions of your parents and their peers, for example, right? And then it's not until later in life that you start to question those, or rather you're supposed to question those in order to be able to relate to people who are outside of that environment, outside of that circle of friends and peers who all agree with the same opinions and preferences, right? And that's how you learn context. That's how you actually start to gain some appreciation for the fact that everybody thinks differently, right? But because you have to go through those beginning phases of basically living in a bubble and validating yourself according to that bubble to fit into that bubble, we often, I guess, continue on the idea that you're supposed to maintain the bubble as opposed to slowly expand it until it pops and then be in reality, right? But because we forget that and we grow up to be adults who are valuing that bubble, even trying to furnish that bubble and make it look shinier than the other bubbles, we never teach our kids to let go of those bubbles. We never actually have developed the system to walk us towards the dissolution of the bubble. Instead, we've created a system that's meant to reinforce the bubble and create profit off of those bubbles.
Exactly. And the more we value those bubbles or even think that that's the right way to live or act or that that's what life is all about, because it's like with, you know, the assumption that, oh, you know, life is about getting to heaven, there isn't so much of this thought process of like, oh no, it's not about growth or expansion or my experience even. It's just, this is a means to an end. This life, we've turned life into a means of an end. And so, you know, these sort of things, expanding your bubble, it's like, because we're not prioritizing or hardly valuing our experience right now, like the expansion of that for your own sake of like your own experience and then the fullness of that experience doesn't make as much sense. So to hold on to the one perspective of like, I want to get to heaven or something, or I assume that things are, even assuming that things are going to be better one day than they are right now, not like from one point of view, I get it, but that assumption that there isn't the potential for things to shift right now, it's something that, you know, I hope, you know, hope to happen in the future, like what Jim Carrey said once, hope is a beggar. And it's a discounting of the potential shifts that can happen right now, because this is the only place that it can happen. Like, this is the only place that the shifts and the changes and different perspectives and jumping in can happen is right now. It's not something that plays out down the road in the future. It's not somewhere that you get to. It's something that you embody right now. If you're assuming that, you know, you're doing this for something else, even like doing something right now to get to something else, to prove something else, to validate something else, to impress someone else, there's going to be a discounting of this, like a discounting of your sensitivity and you can experience as you go.
Exactly. This has been a fun conversation. We still have like 8 minutes left, but I want to remind everybody it's a Sunday, which means after this, we have a tier two and a tier three call. Now, the tier two calls are great because a lot of the people in tier two, they talk to us several days per week. So they come to us with stories, they go out into the world, they do a bunch of experiences, they come back. It really is just quite the group that's formed over the last 2 years. And so if you are looking for this kind of a conversation, not all the time, I mean, sometimes it's just fun, but you're looking for people who are fairly open-minded and want to discuss things from an authentic point of view, or rather from an authentic place, tier two is the place to be. That said, tier three, sorry, I just tapped on the microphone. Tier three is an entirely different kind of group. Tier three groups happen every Sunday for 2 hours. And in those groups, we get into whatever it is that somebody really wants to deep dive on. So those groups aren't recorded. They aren't posted on Patreon after the fact. So if you're looking for something that's more of a group environment, but a little bit more private, tier three is the place to be. We call those our Sunday sermon just because, frankly, they feel fucking divine. At the end of them, it's like we've really just been sitting there processing. that whole time. And so it's a lot of fun. And of course, on tier three, you also get some merch. You get some sweaters every 3 months. I think there's some others, some t-shirts and whatnot. And you get some kick-ass discounts, not just on our workshops as they come out and after the fact, but also on our retreats. You know, as we were saying, we actually have a discount code up right now for the Virginia Beach retreat. I know we only have a few of those tickets left, but if you were a tier three supporter on Patreon, for example, you would get a $350 discount on that retreat in Virginia Beach. I'll throw the code up just in case anybody wants to still attend. That said, as of right now, thanks to a very generous person last week, we actually have an additional $350 discount that you could throw on top of that. So you could use your Patreon discount code for $350 and this other discount code for another $350. You could save $700 on this retreat ticket right now. And of course, the other code is there can be only one. All one word, there can be only one. So you type in that and you click on the save $350 on the page that I'm linking to right there. That would be the ticket page at dualisticunity.com for the Virginia Beach retreat. Use both codes, save like half the ticket fee. Come and hang with us. All your substances, all your food, all your expenses. You get to hang with us one-on-one for 4 days solid in this awesome, awesome house, dope sleepover style with a bunch of really cool people. It's well worth your time.
Absolutely. And that discount with the Patreon discount is fucking insane. That is that's one of the best deals out there right now. And so, yeah, if you can swing it, if you're on the East Coast, last time we're going to be on the East Coast for a while. So if especially if you're within driving distance, get there by, you know, Thursday afternoon. Well worth it. And I'm very, very excited because there's so much dope shit in this house right on the beach. It's going to be beautiful. Mushroom walks. Being high, hanging out, playing pool, jumping in the hot tub, cooking, karaoke. I have a number of new songs I've been honestly like not working on super hard. So I'm excited for some nice voice cracks, some ups and downs, and just giving it everything I got and belting that shit out in the best way that I can. But it's gonna be, yeah, it's gonna be a fucking blast. I'm very, very excited for this. So yeah, if you're in the area or you're just looking for something that you can jump into and just see what the fuck happens, find out, you know, what you're what you're willing to dig into and just how much you're willing to, you know, be yourself and not even just do that, but just relax and fucking chill out and have a good time. Like they're a fuckload of fun. So very excited to see everyone on Thursday in 4 days.
You know, I think my favorite part of it is the fact that we get to talk to people who I learn so much from. Like each one of these retreats is really like an experience for me because I'm always going into an environment where people are bringing themselves, you know, to the best of their ability, really willing to be open. And so they're often in a state of mind where they're just so insightful because they're so open and authentic, because they're living like an exposed nerve. And so everything that comes out of them, you're just like, holy fuck. Yeah, absolutely. I love, that's absolutely the point. Did you want to play some pool or take a walk? We should talk more about this shit. You know, it's just, it's such a fun environment because it's so enriching, because it's so fulfilling. And so I just want to say thank you to everybody who's already bought a ticket. I look forward to seeing you there. This is going to be a blast. I'm fucking pumped. That said, tomorrow we have the last episode of Dualistic Unity Raw before the event. So do join us tomorrow, 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time on Twitch or YouTube Live or LinkedIn or X. We're everywhere. We're on Facebook. We're on all kinds of things. Join us there. Likewise, tomorrow I was thinking, as we have already recorded this week's episode, that we might do another commentary episode, perhaps the first half of episode 3, because that sounds a lot of fun.
Oh yeah, for sure. I've been loving, absolutely loving the commentary series. I think it's either episode 3 or I think it's episode 3 that was after I took 4 grams of mushrooms for the first time, and it wasn't quite the because I had taken 3 grams and just kind of went into 4 with expectations of like, oh, it's going to be, because 3 was great. And then 4 was like, oh, It was much more.
I think this is that conversation where you just kind of glossed over the uncomfortable bit.
Oh, is that it? Oh man, because it was like it was a very, very, very humbling, very solemn. I can still very much remember it, in a sense. And so, yeah, I'm excited to dig into that because it's the balance all the time, but the balance gets context, and so it's not about, you know, this assumption that it's like, oh, feeling good, it's about feeling good all the time. It's not about anything. It's life. It's living. You know, it's just going through things. But there is a lightness when you are willing to, you know, factor in both sides. It's like the heaviness comes from focusing on one side or the other, or just focusing on your own assumption and strictly your own preferences of how you want to feel and what you want to do. So yeah, there's absolutely balance. So anyway, the commentary series is a lot of fun to dig into. We get nice and high for it and just be able to see ourselves, you know, going through whatever we're going through in that moment. And at this point it's over, you know, close to 2.5 years ago, which is fucking insane that it's been that long.
Oh yeah. No, I think about that regularly, just how much change has happened. And what's funny, of course, is I look at it and I have no idea how much change has happened. I'm only getting a conceptual, superficial glance at it. I could just sit for days on end and still not come up with all the change that's fucking happened. And that's exactly why it's important to let go. That's exactly why it's important to just move forward, because nothing you come up with in your brain is the reality. It's always just a best guess, and that best guess is always going to be biased according to your fears. So that said, we're going to end here. Join us on Patreon in 15 minutes if you can, and if not, we'll see you tomorrow. Take care, everyone.
Bye, everyone.